Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's like, I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Carrie Hines right here on the All Know Here Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York live. Always make it a great day.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo Events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
Oh, come on, John. Can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
Oh,
there'll be no peace. The brothers gonna work it out. Brothers gonna work it all out. All. We must all join hands. We can march across this land in peace. Love, joy, with that understanding of truly through God. Instead of brother turning on sister, sister turning on brother. Now how you gonna get it together, being against one another? Shoot up, slip up so high to your world that's turned to stone. How can you deal with the truth when reality's all gone? But brother's gonna work it out. Brother's gonna work it all out. Our brothers say, stop the pimps, the hustlers, the pusher man that's bad as you can. Open your ears and eyes to the fact of what's truly holding you back.
Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins. Listen, I just wanted to take a moment. As you guys know, we kind of just eked past the incredible celebration time for Dr. Martin Luther King, but we celebrate here every day at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
We certainly
so
do.
I just wanted to, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to take
oh,
a look at, you know, we've talked about his legacy in different ways, but I really want to get an idea about today, kind of looking through the lens of where we are nowadays and how we might be affected or we may think differently had he still been around, if you will. So kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that. So Nicole Marie, let me lead on in with the one and only Miss Nicole Marie. What are your thoughts, Nicole Marie?
Well, I believe that if Dr. King was still alive, I think that he would still have that push for nonviolence, for, you know, us living together, his humanitarian spirit. I think that would still be alive. He would still be pushing for it. And I think that he would be very disappointed the way society is now, because it's almost like the morals and the values have been kind of pushed to the side, and right is wrong and wrong is right, which is terrible. I think our society is full of selfishness and egos. Everybody's in a hurry, and we're looking out for ourselves instead of looking out for our fellow man. And I think that's something that Dr. King stood for, looking out for one another, bringing each other together. And we've just gotten away from that. We need to come on back to that, because we're steady just moving farther away from his dream now in society.
Wow. I think that is as articulate as we could pretty much say. Michael Hopkins, what goes through your mind?
One of the things that's going through my mind right now, and Dr. King, and if he was still alive, you know, I'm quite sure he would have been involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm quite sure he would have been involved in that. And he may have been one of the leaders in that. I can see that. I really can.
Okay, may I jump in?
Sure.
Go for it, Gary.
Okay, here's my thinking pattern on all this. See, to me, and I appreciate all the comments, but I believe that Dr. King was a person who did not really try to make a distinction between the races in that way. And I think that he wanted everybody, he believed everybody, should have gotten along as brother and sister, regardless of what color you are. So I don't know if he would have been such a proponent of Black Lives Matter, because had Dr. King lived, in my opinion, we wouldn't have needed a Black Lives Matter. And we wouldn't have needed there would be no more White Lives Matter or this and that. Everybody would matter. And I think that was his whole point, even then, is that everybody mattered. And to me, of course, Dr. King's legacy is going to be forever, etched in stone and lives, you know, just continues to live on. But the other part of it that always bothered me is that, you know, folks who look at his holiday as being a Black holiday, and folks who don't understand that Dr. King stood for everybody.
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 Yeah, very much
and so when I watch the networks, I'm not going to name them, but when I watch the TV networks, and once a year they bring their same tired film clips and coverage, and it has the earmarks of, you know, just the same thing. You don't see any Black men or anybody else, you don't see any inclusivity any other time of the year, just on that one day. And then they feature Black people or whatever, thinking that this is a Black holiday. That automatically tells you that they don't get Dr. King's message. It's just ironic.
Well, understood.
And it goes right over their heads.
Wow.
And this is
Very well understood.
That has always bothered me, folks. So, again, I'm just going to say, speak for myself. But, you know, so if Dr. King were alive and looking through today's lens, I think you said it, Nicole, I think he would be upset. I think he would not agree with a lot that is going on and people who feel like they have no voice. And we certainly miss his.
Very much so. Very much
his.
So. Yeah. You know, another thing, too.
What's that?
You know, another thing, too. I think he would have been instrumental in stopping the war in Vietnam a lot earlier than he did. I think he really would have stopped that. And then even now, with some of the recent events that we have in the world, I think Dr. King would have been instrumental. He could even have been an envoy for some of the recent events over the last 20 some odd years that we've had around the country and around the world.
Right.
And it's like you're saying, Carrie, he was all about not just one group of people. He was all about
everyone.
Universally helping everyone. He was speaking for the downtrodden people, the people that didn't see hope for them. And it reminds me so much of one of the pieces that you put on, Carrie, where he talks about how not to let anyone say certain things that make you think that you don't matter.
Well, that was Dr. King's voice.
Right, yeah, that's right. What I'm saying. That was just that piece that you put on. I love that piece because it's very hopeful.
Yeah, and I just want to say I don't want to kind of throw Dr. King in so much with Vietnam and all the – he was tied to the political landscape in many ways, as we know. But I just want to say to me, I'm not going to – because his whole message to me was of peace and so
That's
not
it.
War. And
peace
I'm going
and non-violence.
To peace and nonviolence.
And that's what he was talking about.
Right. But there was some talk before he died and this and that about moving to, I don't even want to get into all of that. Nkomri, I do want to ask you when it comes, because you're a part of education in this country. So what is the takeaway for the youth that you kind of interact with? Are they aware of Dr. King? Do they still do a lot of presentations in the school system and all of that?
Students are aware of Dr. King, but there are not all of the presentations and so forth. When it comes to Dr. King, really, I do my own lesson. I put up my own materials. So my students and the students that are around in my area, they see everything. They hear about Dr. King. Now, I can't speak for all of the other teachers and so forth, but my students, they learn about Dr. King. I think that we've kind of gotten away from teaching.
And I just want to say that for the folks who are tuned in case you're just catching on, yes, our Nicole Marie is an educator, so let me just make that clear.
Yes,
the folks probably really talked about it like this on the air, I think, Nicole Marie. Go ahead. Yes. But we wanted that. We wanted that because you have your finger literally on the pulse. You are connected with the with these next generations. And as you pointed out, when I was a kid, there were tons of things about Dr. King. I mean, we went on, read so much stuff, and there were so many different things. But even nowadays, where it seems like they're trying to restrict, lessons being taught in schools about, Black historical things and, they're trying to ban books and don't want you to know the truth about different things, it seems. So I think our youth is affected.
It's very limited,
in,
Jerry. Yes, very limited.
Because
certain people are discussed that are, whether it's Dr. King, whether we move on into Black History Month, there's only certain people that the same people are talked about. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. There's so much more to Black history, but it is not taught. Let me just say, it is not taught.
Well, no, we see the news.
That's not good.
No,
not
at all, Michael.
Not good at all.
We see the news, and we see that for whatever they politicized this whole thing with regards to what is taught in schools and. So for whatever reason, whether it's through guilt or just not trying to, make everybody aware or who knows what, it's turned into a very sad place that you.
Right.
But history has always been from a single perspective. It's never been truly inclusive. Let's just say that. There should just be one history, which is called the truth.
That's
sadly, unfortunately, guys, that doesn't seem to be so pervasive as we would like.
Right.
But there is something, and I'm going to say, Nicole Marie, you know this very well, this very next line, there's always hope.
There is always hope.
Yeah, how about that?
Listen for hope. Oh, yeah.
Right. And what would you suggest if there was something you could say to Dr. King today? What would that be? Think about it.
Wow.
If there was something we could each say to Dr. King today, it could be anything. What would that something be, Nicole Marie? I want to put you on the spot today.
Wow. I would tell Dr. King that his dream is still alive, regardless of our society's situation right now. There are those of us that are still keeping the dream alive. There's still hope. We're still pushing hope and just letting people know that what he stood for mattered and is very
lovely.
Relevant today.
Lovely. Hopkins, what are your thoughts?
Well, I would tell Dr. King, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what I would say to Dr. King with what's going on now. That would be my word to him.
I think Dr. King would have already forgiven him and probably asking us to do that. I think he'd be turned around.
Yeah.
That's who he was, Michael. Thank you. And Nicole, you guys are incredible. For my thoughts, on what I would say to Dr. King, I would say that, you know, we owe you an incredible amount of gratitude for what he has done to move our country forward, the world for that much. And we should never lose, we should just never not try to really care for our fellow man, like I think you were saying earlier, Nicole Marie. And we care, you know, we care about each other. We should care much more than we do.
Right.
Very
and
much
we
so.
Let's not just celebrate Dr. King's legacy once a year. It's something that should be celebrated every day. And so I want to tell those media outlets that just roll out Dr. King once a year and then tuck him right on back and with the same old tired clips that they show over and over each year. And then their reporting is all about talking about Dr. King. And if you are going to make it into a black holiday, where are the black people on your network? That's what I want to say. My goodness. That could be an issue. So listen, Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, any closing thoughts? We started out by saying, you know, looking through today's lens, Dr. King's legacy, what it would mean to us. Anything that you want to kind of share, any words of comfort or anything that you want to send folks off with today, Nicole Marie?
I would just say that there is always hope. Keep your focus, because there's always hope.
All right. Michael Hopkins, anything with you, sir, to send off and sign off on that?
Really, that's really beautiful what Nicole said.
Absolutely.
And for me, I would say just keep going, no matter how tough the situation is or the way things look right now and into the future. We have to keep going, and we have to leave a legacy for future generations.
That's true. What
I would say.
Well,
what about you, Gary?
Thank you, Michael. The only thing that comes to mind for me is I had an opportunity to interview a gentleman who had marched with Dr. King, and that is the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I interviewed him several years back when he was promoting out in California in the Silicon Valley new program and getting it out technology to more folks in our community. And he did our show. His best friend also, Butch Wing, was on our show as well. And I never forgot that. And so it was really, really great. In fact, both Peggy Dotson and I both interviewed Dr. Reverend Jesse Jackson at the time. But he was one who had marched with Dr. King, of course. And for me, speaking with these powerful individuals in terms of getting the message out of what Dr. King was all about has been incredible.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
This is Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
When you become successful, everybody wants you to be successful till you're successful.
That's a fact.
Then once you're successful, everybody wants to tear you down. They want to tear down a performance. They want to tear down what you said. They want to criticize you here. They want to find a bad thing to say about you. So you got to just keep walking.
Mm.
And your self-worth has to be strong enough that when everybody's trying to attack you, because they want to be you, and the only way they can be you is they rip you.
Mm.
And you have to be strong enough to take those attacks. You've just got to be strong enough. And when
surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. Two, slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. And three, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth, and always feel that your life has ultimate significance.
I am an endangered species, but I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice belongs.
And Mr. Lionel Williams, tell us what Dr. King means to you.
I think that Dr. King is, I don't romanticize him the way that America has, but I think that, but he really just means to me that the power of possibility, the importance of having a vision. So, you know, even though he was demonized, we celebrate him now, but back in the day he was demonized and the FBI, et cetera, they were trying to destroy him.
That's right.
But he, the importance is he held true to a vision. And even if you plant the seeds and you water the seeds of your vision, you'll see it, you know, it continue to grow. And I think that's what he means to me, the importance of setting a vision, believing it, and holding true to it.
And we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King. Thank you, Lionel, for that.
What I've enjoyed doing all my life from a little girl, I always loved messing with my sisters. They had beautiful hair. And I always enjoyed doing this.
Kelly Terrell loves making women look and feel good.
They feel good. Now when I do it again, they need pay more.
Mrs. Terrell now only works to keep busy and to satisfy a few longtime customers like her daughter, Inez. She's 99 years old and anxiously awaiting her 100th birthday in November.
Well, if I give out my birthday to people, you have to pay for it. November 26th.
How old will you be?
100. How about that?
Her zeal for life is amazing, and so is her work ethic. WRET checked the state of Tennessee, and they first issued her license to operate on January 30th, 1945. She rents space in a salon now, but once had her own thriving business. She's outlived almost all of her customers.
People my age that I used to buddy-buddy with, I don't have a single one. I was in a bridge club. I'm the only one in the club that's living.
Work is part of her secret to longevity.
I'm not used to just being up in the house. See, I work so long. I've just been around people. So I enjoy being with people and doing something exciting.
Most old people, they're so dry and droll. I can't deal with that. I got to live. I do the things that make me happy.
Working brings her joy, but she plans to finally retire at the end of the year. But she says, don't expect to find her sitting around the house doing nothing.
I just be waiting on somebody to call and say, Carrie, you busy? I said, now what is it? Well, come on over here. We doing so-and-so. And I jump in the car and go, just want to do something.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
One of the things I want to do with the veterans is I want to go out into the community and I want to help more veterans, especially a lot of our veterans that unfortunately are homeless or they have some other issues that no one has reached out to them. That's one of my goals, is I want to reach out to veterans like that, because many times I see that those are the veterans that actually have disabilities, and no one has reached out to them to help them. Many times, a lot of those veterans don't have to be homeless because they have disabilities that can be rated by the VA, and they could also fit into a lot of government programs that are geared towards veterans. I just want to go and get the word out to those veterans so that we can have less homeless veterans on the streets and in shelters. And we can do what we're supposed to do as a military community. We can help our other veterans. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. That's what's in store for me.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community, my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Change it.
Dr. King's legacy to me, overall, love others and not hate. He was definitely a person who stood for racial justice and equality, and he stood up for all races of people. He was such an inspiration because it did not matter to him. He risked his life. He risked everything for the right for people to vote, desegregation, civil rights, and just overall humanity. And he did it in a nonviolent way. And the celebration of Dr. King is something that we all need to focus on every single day to strive for, to just love others, because love always wins. No matter what you're doing, love always wins. So that's what Dr. King's legacy means to me. So, Michael, what does Dr. King, what does his legacy mean to you?
Wow. What it really means to me, Dr. King was a person that he took a stand on different issues when it was not popular. And I admire that in a person. You know, it wasn't popular back in the mid-60s to take a stand against the war in Vietnam. It wasn't popular for him to do that. And, you know, it a lot of people, everybody was on the team, support the South Vietnamese, but Dr. King saw something that a lot of people didn't see. So, you know, that was one thing that I just loved about him. And taking a stand, he took a stand on racism. He took a stand on having people support themselves with a hand up, not a hand out.
So true.
And he just had his speeches were just so eloquent. We listen to his speeches now, after so many years, and his speeches still. They pull on your heartstrings.
Right.
That's what it does. It's so relevant. It's even more relevant now with Dr. King.
Brandy, Dog Chow, Make It, all I'm on the rise. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I went from Ellie Hansen to mini mansions. The girls in Aruba doing belly dancing. Spent half of my advancing, jaws from Branson to make it through my circumstances. But you know I'm wiser now, move like Kaiser now. Got a butter soft lever just to hide my pound. Got a house in the valley, come and find me now. Got enough dough to buy the town. So I might give a six to my chick, Benz to my mom. Crib so big it look like the Pentagon. Give her a couch just to spill Henny on. And been a don since Lotto's and Benetton. Come on.
People say that I'm not the same girl. They say I think that I'm in my own world. What makes them think that I have changed? Yeah. A little token, not erase my problems. Be like you, I have to try and solve them. Yes, everything is quite the same. Whoa.
People
Coach Cap with a new BM. If you mess with Brandon, I got to bruise your chin. I be with Puff, the girls be like, who's his friend? If I hit a chick once, she probably move me in. So you got to tell me right now, either you're with the cat who make the hits or the one that see the chips.
Slow down, makes you killin'
it. But don't stop it. What's the use of buying a way if I'ma have to chop it? I used to love the lady till I learned the logic. She only mess with me, so the money ain't no object. If it ain't Chris, he won't pop it. If it ain't platinum with ice, he won't rock it. If it don't cost 60, he don't drop it. If it don't come with TVs, he don't top it. He can stop it.
Siobhan DeSeer, it is my great honor to bring you back to the show today from Roots Rock Salon in West Orange, New Jersey. Good morning again to you. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on today.
Okay, it's my pleasure. Listen, I want to jump right on in on this topic. This is something that's been very big, and it's been kind of weighing on me as a topic I wanted to cover on the broadcast. And so it's really easy. It's all about kind of preserving the look as far as the clients go once they leave your chair. So today's topic talk with Siobhan DeSeer and Kara Han is how to make sure that the style that you just received at your favorite hair salon lasts after you've left the salon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And we can, this can also lend itself to after you leave the barbershop. So these are some great at-home tips or some aftercare that we can talk about. So let's kind of get started. Okay, first of all, Siobhan DeSeer, my question to you, when clients come into the shop, are they necessarily thinking about aftercare or are they just in the moment and just want to look good when you put that mirror in front of them and they say, oh, wow.
I'm thinking that it's a bit of both. You know, you come in, you want to, whether you're getting a new look or what have you, you want it to look great. And then, of course, you want to maintain it. You spend some money on your hair. So you want to know how you can keep this hair looking amazing. So definitely. Now, the answer to that question would definitely depend upon what style you have, what techniques or, you know, what tips you may need. So as you mentioned, the barbering. Okay, so let's say if you have your hair is cut short on the sides, right? Are you natural? Is it relaxed? You know, these are other things or tidbits that we need to know what's going on with your hair. In either case, I would say a brush is your friend. Brushing the hair on the sides, if you have like a low cut, very good. Just to keep it nice and laid, you know, and then you just tie it down, you're good to go. Now, what's going on with the top? Is it curled? Is it curly? Is it, you know, do you have some hot curls going in? Is it locked, you know? So these are other things that we have to look at. So if you have locks, then I would recommend that you use, if, you know, if you're a female, you might, well, male or female, I guess it really doesn't matter, but a satin type cat or maybe a even what they call the do-rag, you could put that on.
Well, I'm a male and I have a satin cap, so.
Yes.
Okay,
you say you have a
so
satin,
I guess I
which one are you
those.
Using?
I have my own, and plus I have a do-rag, but I also have my specific silk cap. Now, can you tell everybody while we're talking about that in this moment, then we can get back to that, but what's the importance of a satin-type cap?
Well, what it is, a lot of times if you're sleeping and you have a pillowcase and it's not the proper material, you can lose a lot of moisture, you know, cause a lot of breakage and all like that. Some people don't like to put anything on their hair. So if you don't want to cover it down, then you might want to make sure you change your pillowcase to either silk or satin pillowcase. So you can, you know, you don't have to worry about putting anything on it, because a lot of times, you know, sometimes you don't want to wear that bonnet or silk cap or whatever when you're laying down. So you might need to just, you know, get a pillowcase, you know, switch it up so you'll
exactly.
still maintain your look.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the silk or satin, like Siobhan said, believe me, it is fantastic. You don't
right?
even realize, because that traction that happens naturally yeah. when you're using those other types of materials or other fabrics, that really can lend itself to breakage and damage.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm all in. I'm all
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Carrie is something, because, you know, as we mentioned, breakage, and some people might be listening and hearing, okay, with a pillowcase and this and that with breakage. You know, when you have a head full of hair, probably not that much of a concern. Oh, I have a head full of hair. But the truth is, you, if you're here,
you're not so happy.
If you're
I got a head full of hair. Okay. Go ahead.
Right. You know, some people, because everyone's different circumstances, but just imagine yeah. if your hair is thin already. Well, baby, you are not trying to lose a strand. So you
not
have to try to
all.
Hold on.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Mm. Siobhan,
yeah.
dear, you are killing it this morning. So talking about this, and you know what? And this is a big thing. So that's one of the big tips when you leave the salon. Make sure that your night care is all in. And
it's
I call
discussed.
It 100.
Absolutely.
Make sure it's 100. Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. because this,
when you,
yeah.
go ahead, Siobhan, please.
Yeah, just to touch on that a little bit, because the truth is, you should have a consultation with your professional before the service as well as after. You got to close out, so you'll know exactly what regimen or what you need to do until your next visit.
Now, in that initial consultation with your professional, what are some of the things that you talk about? So when do you bring up the subject of the aftercare? Is that in the closing consultation, or is it covered at the top?
I think you touch on it a little bit of both because, right, if you're a new client coming in, I need to know a bit about you and your lifestyle, you know, so I'll get a gist of what style may work for you. Because if you're really active, you're in the gym every day, you're working out, or let's say you're playing football or you're on a basketball team or you're an athlete or whatever you're into, I really need to know what's going on. So I'll know what type of style we're doing so you can have the, you know, longevity in whatever hairstyle we choose for your hair goals, and you tell me a little bit about what's going on with your hair, what are your concerns, and then we go from there.
Now, Siobhan, this year, when it comes to aftercare, after they've left the salon, you've hooked them up with the style of their dream. They're ready for their close-up, as we say. What about the products? How important does the role of hair products play in the aftercare process?
I think it's very important. Again, there's no one-size-fits-all for anybody. So a lot of times it has to be custom. We're in a day where, you know, you could pull up a video and you see everyone bouncing around with false expectations on certain products, and they'll have you believe like your hair is going to grow down to the floor overnight. No such thing. You know what I mean? The truth is it depends on your hair texture, keeping the scalp stimulated, very important.
And
things you can
yeah,
do, and moisturize. Yeah, depending on your hair texture, you have to know, because too much of anything is not good. So
exactly.
you have to kind of, and everyone's hair is different, so it's hard. Like a lot of times, I tell people, watch your hair and learn your hair, because no one really knows your hair better than you. You wear it every day, so when you come in, you're telling me what you're going through with your hair, and then we'll go from there. You know, so
I'm loving
good
it.
Stuff there. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, folks, if you have just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very, very special guest today in our hairstylist spotlight is someone you know very well. Her name is Siobhan Desir, and she is the person behind Roots Rock Salon. You've heard the commercials right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So it is my great honor to welcome you again to our broadcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me again. And I want to give a big welcome to all the listeners out there. If you have any concerns of your hair and your hair regimen, feel free to reach out to me for a consultation free of charge. And we can do a Zoom consultation, no problem. And I'll help to guide you if you need any of my assistance. I'm here for you.
Yes. Now, generally, we send everybody to our Hair Radio online community, but you are also out there as well on social media. And why don't you give everybody, if you don't mind, please share your contact information. We have a lot of folks who are in this neck of the woods.
Thank you. They could always reach me at rootsrocksalon.com. Rootsrocksalon.com.
Yes. And that's spelled R-O-O-T-S. rocksalon.com. So we want to make sure that that's clear. Very good. Okay, Siobhan Desia. I'm always excited about this. And so now, what about the internet? So talking about acetair, are you a proponent of your clients, okay, after they've left out of Roots Rock, going to YouTube University, grabbing all the latest tips from folks who may or may not be licensed cosmetologists. Probably 98% are not. But at YouTube University, they're just going in, okay, with all kinds of tips and all that. What do you say about that, Siobhan? How do you feel as a licensed cosmetologist?
I'm going to tell you, I'm not against it. You know, if that's what they choose to do, they can. The only thing is, you know, a lot of times if they come back and they ask me things about it, I'll give them my professional advice because you don't want them doing anything. Let's say, in other words, you don't want them going home and putting a whole bunch of Gorilla Glue on their hair or anything like that. So, you know, it's good to be knowledgeable.
And if you mentioned Gorilla Glue, we have to talk about Dr. Obeng. But, you don't want them to need Dr. Obeng, who is the one who rescued Jessica Brown from the Gorilla Glue Girl.
So it's okay to look and see what's going on, and you might see something you like, which is always a perk. And as a professional, I can look and say, okay, all right, well, let's, you know, accomplish this way and just give you the healthiest method to, you know, obtain whatever it is you're looking to do.
Now, what about the seasons? Does that play into it? You know, whether it is the warmer seasons that we're about to get into with spring and summer, or is it that you are just battling through the cold season? Does the aftercare vary? Like certain things you might need to do in certain seasons that you don't have to do in other seasons?
Yeah,
does that make
a
difference?
It does. Honestly, if you're a natural and it's hot, like a desert out there, really hot, there are certain styles you might, you know, have to switch up a little bit from the summer to the winter, let's say, or spring and fall. So, yes, of course, it will play a part in it. But in terms of hair growth and maintaining length and breakage and all like that, that is more connected to having a regimen. You know, sticking with doing your trims is necessary, sticking with keeping moisture in, sticking with, you know, not letting it get dry, watching how much, making sure you're taking the right vitamins and minerals for your system, trying to maintain stress levels. So there's a lot. There's a lot of contributing factors.
Eating and water.
Yes. Lots and lots of water and fiber.
And eating.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Those things have endless benefits. And most of all, your ends. So I'm loving this. Okay. This is fantastic talk today. So, you know, we love having Siobhan Desia every time you come to the show. It's always something new. One of the other things I always tell everybody about is that you do a lot of promotional work with advertising out there. You have things that help right at Roots Rock Salon. So this is something really nice. Now, what do you say? What about to your hair professionals, your colleagues in the industry? Any tips for them on how they
can promotions? Let me tell you something. I'm a firm believer in you leave things to those who are best at it. I am not a promotion specialist, so I reach out to the best of the best to handle my promotions. And the secret to that, if you're looking for it, are you waiting? Should I be tight-lipped or should I tell my secret? Do you have a drum roll for me?
You should let them have it, Siobhan.
Do you have a drum roll for me there?
I'll find one.
Okay. So my secret ingredient is I let Hair Radio handle it all because I am too busy working and studying in the field of hair and cosmetology to find out what's new, you know, and what's coming up, and that's what I'm going to focus in on.
Well,
so
I appreciate that, Siobhan.
Well, yeah, and it's the truth. I personally believe that when it comes to things, you know, you have to let those who are best at it handle it, and then especially in this case for me. But for everyone, you know, that this is it. It's just easier for me. It saves me time, and I get the results that I need to see.
Well, I go back to starting a long time ago in this industry of hair industry beauty promotions. And I remember talking hair promotions when I got started, and this is back in the 90s and then in the early 2000s. And most of the stylists at the time, remember this was pre-social media. There was YouTube wasn't around for decades. Wasn't a gleam in anybody's eyes at that time.
So
do you remember, Siobhan, how it was such a challenge to get
Absolutely.
The stylists and the people in the hair business to know what hair promotions were all about? Now we take for granted. People call me on the phone, Carrie, I want this, I want that. I need this, I need that, I need da-da-da-da-da. Can you design this for me? Can you work that? How's that product? Can I have that? What show are you doing? Da-da-da-da-da.
And I think a lot of it comes to the point when you look back then, you might have had what were we using back then? Were we using Nextels or, you know, the little chirp phones or were we using
I forgot that. You really go in.
right. I'm telling on myself, but it's okay. I'm gracefully accepting it. So, you know, back then we didn't really have internet access on the cell phones. And, you know, lucky enough, if you had a laptop or a computer and it wasn't really much action going on, so to speak, I think this thing really blew out the water once we were able to, start up with the, what did they have,
social
the MySpace,
media.
The Facebook, and the Internet. When the Internet came to the palm of our hand, it pretty much changed the game on everything.
Well, I'll say the Internet, I agree with you, but more specifically social media. Because first, remember, it was that information superhighway, and that used to get all clogged up with all kind of crazy talk on hair care, and it was not very helpful at that time, per se. So that's why I wrote that article for the New York Challenge newspaper, Should You Trust Your Hair Care to the Internet? Nowadays, you look, there's a whole different level to that. The only part, and I've talked with other stylists who've been on the show about it, but the only part to that is that just bear in mind you want to get good, healthy information, and you want to follow the advice of your hair care professional, like Siobhan here, Roots Rock Salon.
It's almost like if anything else was going on, you know, you want to seek a specialist, even though, you know, you do your research, you look, but you want to also seek that second opinion to, what about that? What do you think about this? And then you pretty much go from there. You always want to consult with someone to make sure that you're heading in the right direction, whatever it is you have going on.
Absolutely. Now, Siobhan Desir, is there any direction that you see? We talk about the industry, where we were, and it was different for natural hair side. It was different for the chemical side, so the cosmetologist will say. But where do you see the industry? Is there anything that you can kind of forecast? Like for me, I believe that maybe social media, I believe that whole thing, and we've been talking about it on this particular episode, I think it's still going to continue to blossom and mushroom even larger. And I think things like facial recognition, all these other AI-type things are going to play into technology. It's going to be more so incorporated into the hair process. What do you think?
Yeah. I think, honestly, it's an added benefit. Here where I am, everything had to go into appointments with the with everything that was going on, everything had to go into appointments. So it created a bit more, even though we were doing appointments before, but it created a lot more structure. And in having those appointments and accepting the prepayments and so forth like that, it simplifies everything. Now, in terms of how we're wearing our hair, is it going to be natural? Is it going to be chemically enhanced? Well, the way I look at it, you be the best you. And no one can determine who the best you is. You determine that. I have a head full of locks by choice. But if you decide you want to relax it, color it, straighten it, press it, whatever, it's your world, and no one can change your world. You enjoy your world because we only have one life to live. Live your best life.
I love it. And on that note, Siobhan DeSia, Roots Rock Salon. Again, remind everybody where you are and how they can connect with you, Siobhan.
Absolutely. You can always, I'm in Jersey. You can always contact me via the website, rootsrocksalon.com, and I welcome you all. Always looking for new stylists and barbers as well.
Absolutely. Again, how to make that style of yours last after you've left the salon, and for the pro side as well. Siobhan DeSia is a great mentor. She's been out there a while. And help so many folks in the industry and continue to do so in addition to your shop and all the education things that you're doing, also supporting the Hair Radio Morning Show and all of our platforms. I'm Carrie Hines. We've got
and
a
I'm
lot
Siobhan
more.
DeSia. Thank you for listening to HairRadio.com.
Oh, listen to all.
women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back live. It is Wednesday morning, January 17th of 2024. I'm Carrie Hines, and yes, it is our show number 940 today. Again, show number 940, nice round number. Wanted to kind of just welcome everybody. You've been listening. We've been enjoying the first hour. It's about 7:15 if you are on the East Coast, 6:15 for folks out in Central Time Zone. Want to say thank you so much for being with us and got a lot to unpack today. Want to get to our big, big spotlight hour at 8 o'clock. We have some wonderful things that we're going to talk about in just a bit. First, let me bring on this man who has become a superstar on the network. You guys know his work. You're familiar. You heard him in the first hour. We, of course, are talking about Mr. Michael Hopkins. He's an accredited claims agent out of Spotsylvania, Virginia. And Michael, good morning down there in VA. How are you this morning, this Wednesday morning as we broadcast?
Very much so. Very much. Okay. Beautiful. Spotsylvania, and I'm looking at some snow.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I mean, for most of the country, we are under some huge cold blend or spell or whatever you want to call it. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, where the temperatures go from 19 to a high of 27. And so when I woke up this morning, it was about 20 degrees. I think it's gone down a bit. I think it looks like 18 right now in Brooklyn. So it's a little on the blustery side. And, you know, Michael, I got to say, it just reminds me of when I started the broadcast, the Hair Radio Morning Show, this morning version. Again, I always have to explain this story. The Hair Radio Show started in 1995. Okay, we were on local AM and New York stations out of Newark, New Jersey. It was then syndicated, in addition to that, to a specific New York station while it was on a different station in Newark, New Jersey. And then it went on to another station as well in Philadelphia and Atlanta. We were playing on regular AM radios and FM stations and my own broadcast. That's way back decades ago.
Wow.
Long before there was something called a podcast. Okay, so we've been doing this for a minute, as the kids say. So all that to kind of put out there, to say we've really done the work. We've done the work. And so the radio show, again, you know, we, like I said, we've been doing this
version of it, which is the Hair Radio Morning Show, kind of like a Steve Harvey-ish, Tom Joyner type broadcast, where we're not just talking hair and beauty. Of course, that's our foundation, hair, beauty, and what, Michael?
Community.
All right. Okay. Oh, wow. Listen to Michael. Community. Good one. But, yeah, hair, beauty, and community. That's what we're all about here on the broadcast. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for tuning in, being a part of what we're doing here each day. And we got a lot to kind of talk about. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, in our spotlight hour, we are going back 10 years in our vault. It's a panel discussion on the topic of Ferguson. This was huge back in 2014. And so we've got our original segment that we did on this topic with panel folks and all of that. So we're going to kind of get that on for you the first time in 10 years. You'll hear it. I'll hear it. So, and then following that panel discussion replay, if you will, Michael and I are going to have a little bit of a convo on that, and you're welcome to join us. So you can dial in and share your thoughts as we kind of cover, you know, what's happened in these 10 years since Ferguson. So you'll hear the actual commentary from our broadcast at that time. So that's what I really want to say. You know, our show is a true chronology of Black culture. So, and to be honest, it goes beyond Black culture. It's world culture because we talk about everything on this show. We really do. It stems from hair and beauty and community, but it goes way beyond.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I wanted to say. So, Michael, you were tuned in. Did you hear anything this morning that you want to comment on, any segments that kind of got underway?
Terry, of course. Of course. I can tell you one thing that I really enjoyed was that first song that you played. It's just typical of the 70s. Brothers Gonna Work It Out.
Willie Hutch, I believe,
right,
was the amazing artist. I love that. And he's just got wonderful. I didn't discover him until after he had passed. But such an incredible artist with great, memorable songs and an amazing voice that is so relatable, and his music is so full of meaning. That's the way the music seemed to be, Michael. Back in that era, it was not just a song and you just hopping up dancing around per se. There was that music, but there was also music that had meaning. There was songs that when you listen to the lyrics would move you. They might move you to, changing your life. They might move you to what was happening in the world, like Marvin Gaye's music. Songs that you just wanted to hear, you know? I wish we could kind of get back to that today in 2024. I do. I wish we could kind of get back to that. And so,
you know, Carrie? Yeah, me too, because it was the value. It was values. It was the times we lived in, and people wanted to. It was their way, the way I see it. It was their way of protesting about the conditions that were going on back then. But they did it in music. And music has been one of the vehicles that has been used for protesting conditions. You know, you can look at the history of music and some of the songs, especially like the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and then, you know, even with rap music, when you look at some of the lyrics and some of the rap music, that they're talking about the conditions of what's going on in the world around them. And it took me a while to understand that, Carrie. You know, at first you listen to it and some of the language and you say, oh, my God, and so forth. And but after a while, when you start actually listening, it's one thing to hear stuff, but it's another thing to listen to things. And you analyze things.
Well, Michael, let me ask you, is that something that you feel could take place today? I don't really hear any messaging in their music today.
Right.
To be quite frank, I can barely listen and get through a song because the artist typically to me, maybe it's a generational thing, but oftentimes I find that they lack the talent of the folks who came before them. So to me, it falls flat. So there is no message because there is no voice, and there's no voice because there is very little talent, if any. And so I'm hoping this will be something that we can be instrumental in kind of reminding folks of the great music, especially from our community. So this is something that we've been doing on the Hair Radio Morning Show for you guys just kind of joining us. We've been playing some of the incredible artists. You just heard A Lovely Day by Bill Withers.
Back in the day.
But it's going to work it out. And all these, we even had some Brandy on with Mace in Top of the World this morning. So, music and our community is ginormous. It's the world's community.
Yes, it is.
And it's something to me, right? You know, I'm just wishing we can get back to real music again.
Yep.
I really
Carrie.
Yeah.
You know, Carrie.
What's that, Michael?
When you travel, and you and I, you know, we've talked about this, you know, off behind the scenes. And traveling to, say, to Europe, the influence of black music and culture is just, as you call it, ginormous. And I never realized that until I was in the military and I had the opportunity to go to Germany. And I never realized how big a lot of the black artists here in America were in Europe. Never realized that until I got to Europe. And wow.
I did realize it because I used to, as you guys know, I've traveled around the world as well. And I literally would, back in those days, would fly to Europe just to buy music and pretty much get on a plane and fly back to America. Now, this was music that was created in the United States, but the stations would not necessarily play those songs. They were exported to Europe. And so I would fly over to Champs-Élysées, to Paris, and I would buy songs and music, special mixes and things that you couldn't find in America, even though it was created here.
Wow.
And I would go on Champs-Élysées to Virgin Records, if you will, and I would go shopping up on the second floor and buy these songs, these incredible songs. And I would come back and play them in my core, as you know, we say these days, my car. I play these incredible songs. Folks would say, where did you get that? What is it? And they couldn't, of course, get it. Of course, I could fly. And I did travel over there. I went to the Virgin Record Store. That was the huge record store back in the day. One of them, of course, you guys know they had others. But yeah, I went over there. I went to, like I said, I shopped in Paris on Champs-Élysées. I shopped at Piccadilly Circus in London. I also went to Madrid, in Spain. I went to all these great places. They have these incredible places to shop for music, and I would go several times, and it was just very memorable. The music industry, as you guys know, I believe, Michael, has changed. I believe it has.
And you know, I always go right.
Right.
It's something that, you know, I guess it's generational again. This is what probably other, you know, no one's ever liked the music of their time, because that's, you know, of the current times, because we always have these amazing memories tied to them. So that might have something to do with it. But, but that's okay. You know, maybe things will change. So we're going to keep positive and hope for what
very
I call
much
the best,
so.
Michael Hudson.
Very
now, listen,
much so, okay.
Just so, you know, we can kind of remind everybody again, if you're just tuning in to our broadcast, thank you. It's Wednesday morning, January 17th of 2024. Today is a nice round number. It's our show number 940. So
wow.
We are just super, just 60 more shows.
Wow, okay, just killing it.
Shows.
Wow. We are just killing it.
We don't have too much farther to go. We're going to be
very much so.
Celebrating 1,000 shows. And so I've already started, speaking of which, Michael Hopkins, I've already started planning the big celebration for the Hair Radio Morning Show's 1,000th broadcast party. So as they say, party. So we're going to
doing
it up big time. We're going to let you guys know the particulars. As I said, I'm kind of getting underway with it, but I'm really excited about it. I am. I think this is something that's going to be revolutionary, you're going to need to start getting your tickets now. It's going to be a VIP party. I have to tell you that much, and I'm hoping everybody can kind of make it in. You only hit 1,000 shows once. So please,
very much so.
You know, yeah. And we're talking about a great honor. 1,000. Does anybody know anybody who's done 1,000 of anything? So
nope.
That says a lot, Michael,
yes,
about who we are. It
very
says a lot about
so,
who
okay.
we are. So I'm very proud. And then to have what you're doing, you know, on behalf of the veterans, and we're going to get into that as well. You know, but I'm real happy after the music break, we'll talk about what's going on with Vet Talk Radio and your contribution to all of this. But again, this is something that we can be very proud of.
Oh, yeah.
You want to add anything to that option?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just an accomplishment, Terry, and I am so happy to be a part of that accomplishment. I have 1,000 shows. This is just something that everybody doesn't get the opportunity to be a part of something big like this. And yes, this is going to be quite a celebration that we're going to have here, the Hair Radio Morning Show. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know all the plans yet, and it's, but I'm looking forward to it. I really
all
am.
All right. Me too, Michael Hopkins. And we just love to have you guys with us. We're going to talk all about that. And as I said, coming up at 8 o'clock, Michael, where were you when all of this kind of hit the proverbial fan on the water and the issues that they had in Ferguson? So I think that was it. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to get on a replay literally from the Hair Radio Morning Show vault from exactly 10 years ago. So I love that we don't have to go to look for a television or other folks' pieces and all that kind of stuff. We have our own segment that we have created. We have a real live chronology of things that have happened since this broadcast started. And today we're going to be sharing that coming up in our Spotlight Hour. It's back on Ferguson, and we're going to talk about that.
Oh.
So I can't wait.
It'll
be on, and then right after that, we're going to be live. Michael, we're going to go in with this. So
We're going to be paying a lot of attention, folks. We want to hear from you on this as well. So all you got to do is simply dial in and press 1. Let us know that you're there. Again, you call the 516-453-9458. Press 1. That'll be our indication that you would like to talk on the air live, and we'll get you on. Now, Hopkins, there was some fancy music in the early days of this broadcast, even before then. But again, as you guys know, our music playlist today, which has been incredible, featuring wonderful artists. We even kicked off the show with Whitney Houston, and I bow out. I love always playing Whitney's music, which I have been reading in recent days. They're saying that she's charting posthumously. So that means that some of her songs are back up in the literal rankings of Billboard music charts. So you talk about a superstar in life and in death. We're talking Whitney
Houston.
So good stuff. And then wanted to kind of move along to an artist I saw live a couple times. I actually met her briefly at Newark Airport. She didn't really want to be bothered with anybody, so it seemed. She had on a big floppy hat and sunglasses. And, of course, I'm talking about the one and only Jody Watley, who was here in New York for an award show, what have you. And I was working at the airlines at the time, and I knew she was going to be on that flight. So I went there and to the gate and I had a chance to, you know, I knew she was going to be there. See, nobody knew, but those of us who worked at the carrier, at the airline, we knew when celebrities were traveling. And so we would go travel. We would go to the gate and see them. And I did. I didn't ask her for an autograph at that time or anything. I just, you know, greeted her because she didn't seem like she really, you know, she just was trying to be low key. But anyway, that is one of my favorite memories. And I saw her perform at the Apollo back in her heyday. And I just love Jody Watley. So we're going to be, Michael, we're kind of taking a little throwback day today. So I hope you'll bear with me on this because I really love some of these classic songs, and I hope you do too. So
Carrie.
Well, listen, we are going to get on Miss Watley. After that, Michael, we're going to talk about Vet Talk. We're going to kind of give a little bit more of, again, coming up in the next hour, big spotlight hour talk today. We want to be ready for that. Here's Jody Watley. Don't you remember this? Stay with us.
Everybody.
Everybody, it is my great honor to bring back to the show for the first time in quite a long time right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys, you hear her all the time. She's a big, big part of our success over the years. And you've gotten to know her as someone you can trust, just value information out there. And she does so much research on our behalf, a very, very special contributor to our broadcast. I believe she's our chief contributor. We're talking about the one and only, Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Hit Heart. Mary, good morning and welcome back.
Oh, what a wonderful introduction. Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Yes. Well, I think this is exciting. First, I want to just remind everybody, let's talk a little bit because it's been a while. Since we had a chance to check up with you on some of the wonderful things about Hair Hit Heart. First, just remind everybody real quickly, then we're going to get into our convo of the day, I call it. But what can you remind us about Hair Hit Heart?
Well, Hair Hit and Heart is a combination of a variety of passions I have and places where I lend my advocacy. And so I established that company in 2015. I talk about safety, health, everything related to hair, getting you through the variety of transitions, safety for the service provider. I do some art related to those things, some folk arts as well and photography. But what I am doing right now, I have a book coming out probably in the beginning of the year. It'll be out and released. About salon safety for especially those dynamic beauty professionals who are out there on the front lines.
Wow. Well, listen, this is really, we're going to be reminding you guys whenever Mary's book is out because you may be hearing it before then, you may be hearing it after then. So we'll keep you guys out there informed. But, yes, safety. And this is a great conversation to get into this morning, Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Hit Heart, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, because times have changed. And we used to just sit in the chair at the salon, or even nowadays you've got a lot of folks who are, at home doing hair care thanks to the Internet. But I'm concerned about safety. Now, there was a huge story, and I don't know if you saw this, Mary, and a lot of you guys out there have probably seen this. And it was really such a sad story. It's about a young girl, and I think she was like a teenager or something, like a real young girl, who was having her hair done at somebody's kind of like a home or a setup shop. It didn't seem to me, maybe it was a shop, but the young person doing the hair services had not been licensed at the time. And I remember this story because she set some kind of heating utensil, next to an aerosol can of some sort, and it
exploded.
Yeah, and the poor girl had all these kind of burns over her face and so forth, and it was just an awful story. And so it's still out there on the internet. I'm sure you can Google it, but just the idea of safety being so much, and safety is always an issue, but this was just awful.
Yeah,
and
safety in the home. Do you know we have more accidents in the home than not? So when they're taking the salon into the home and mixing this, that, and the other thing, it's a little scary.
It is, and it can be, and you're absolutely right, Mary. So I just want to say, I'm grateful that you guys out there, Mary, doing all the work of helping folks to be mindful of safety when it comes to the hair community or getting your hair done or you work at the salon or any of those things. I'm just very pleased that somebody's out there looking out for the folks who are patronizing these businesses. So good move, Mary. Yeah.
Beauty is like an inherently risky business. And then what are risks to others, like in the home and whatever, elevate to problems in our industry because of the levels of exposure we experience every day. So that's the big difference. Yeah, you can color your hair and do whatever. But just that awareness is so important no matter what level you're practicing.
Yeah, I just remember when back in the days, I'm not going to tell you quite how long ago, it'll give my whole age away today. But I remember that the folks at Chi Products, CHI, you guys know them. They have the red cans out there and everything is red.
Love the product.
I call them Chi. They're huge. They're a really, really big company. I've interviewed them many times right here on the show. I've run into them at the hair shows and all of that. So they've been on our show many times. But one of my favorite interactions with them, they flew me out to Houston, which is where they, in Houston, Texas, where they have their big plant. And I had a chance to go there and tour the plant and then meet up with the CEO at the time, who I believe he's still running things, but I remember he was the CEO. And to me, they were banging the drum about protecting the rights of the stylists who were inhaling all of those harmful products at the time. This was years ago, and nobody was really talking about it then.
And they still aren't.
About that much. Yeah, and that's bad. It is very sad because as a stylist or barber, for that much, anybody that is constantly inhaling. Now, see, here's the thing with a lot of stuff. It may not be as harmful because it's infrequently used. Doesn't mean it
can't.
Yeah,
it's kind of like being. It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. I mean, it's there. How you move it forward really depends on so many variables that it's hard to package. So I'm not going to completely say that the FDA dropped the ball on things totally by design.
Oh, well, hold on. We haven't even gotten to the FDA yet.
Oh, okay.
But let me just tell you, that I love those folks who are beating the drums out there about these types of things, but they're still doing it, and they're still letting folks know that, you know, and a lot more hairstylists are aware these days. Thanks. Because remember, you know, Mary,
well,
and I, we always
they're,
have
they're
these
noticing.
Comments.
Yeah, they're
yes,
noticing their comrades are falling. Yeah, one in five
well,
of us
exactly.
has to leave our industry
yes.
early because of these types of things.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the thing. And so I'm grateful that many more hairstylists are aware of these
mm-hmm.
things. And if you can be aware, then you are in better position to make better choices for your life, but also the lives of your clients. And
mm-hmm.
I just think that that is a great thing. Now, where we are today, and so many of these companies and corporations, it's hard to just let, you know, here's what I believe has happened, where in America we just kind of let the corporations kind of govern themselves with this, where it comes to products and sometimes other things. But, you know, today we're mm-hmm. talking about the hair products and all of that, the beauty products in general. And I think that that's been something that has become problematic to a big degree. So now it's in the news everywhere. You can Google it out there if you don't believe us. But, yeah, mm-hmm. the FDA is looking at banning products. Now, maybe by the time you listen to this, that will have changed, or maybe there will be some products banned. They have specifically called out chemicals like formaldehyde and
mm-hmm.
and so many others. But let me just say, I think that's great for me personally. Of course, these are things that most people in the country who are not in the hair business, like we are, Mary, many folks are not even aware that
mm-hmm.
the chemicals and that things that are in these products may be harmful. And I'll tell you why. Because they just see a product on the shelf and assume, I believe this is the case,
mm-hmm.
that folks just assume that the FDA or just that it's safe. In other words,
mm-hmm.
the bartender, or what is the alcoholic, is the bartender has to regulate himself and control himself. And that's the thing, and it's a poor analogy, but that's kind of the idea, that we make the assumption that these products are safe.
Yeah, and we're so trusting.
We're so trusting, and you just really hit it on the head. We hit it on the head, and that I think that's the thing. What were you going to say, Mary?
Well, I was going to expound. And, you know, I'm all for self-determination and safety, but these industrial chemicals, and that's what we're talking about with the formaldehydes and some of those others, they're called grasses, so generally recognized as safe, right? And as a rule, they're found in beauty products that are unregulated, except if you are going to ingest them, if you're actually going to eat them, right? Then there's some rules in place, stricter rules. But many chemicals, like you mentioned, the formaldehyde, glycol, those are staples in shampoos and conditioners. They're absorbed through the skin. There's fumes that we use with our burned plastics, if you're still burning plastic. We offer sharp services, so things with needles, right? And there's no protocols or protections in place in our industry specifically, although, like, if you were in a hospital, you know, there are some definite ways that you handle a needle. And so this makes the people who are using beauty products, especially the service providers, especially prone to overexposures and high risk of injury and illness. Around 15% of the people in the United States have HIV and don't even know it. And, you know, it's just dangerous just from doing our job. But luckily, you mentioned earlier something about the MACRA Act that that came about in 2022, so that it's holding the FDA more accountable for protecting people. So
well,
that's exciting. I mean, I
don't know. All I know is that, and what you had mentioned about the GRAS and all of that, which is great. Here it says online information with the graphs are substances generally recognized as safe, as Mary pointed out, by the United States Food and Drug Administration. They say that the group includes a variety of substances, and I would imagine that to be true. However, many of the things that we have come to believe can be quite harmful have, in fact, proven to be harmful. My thing is that the FDA, you know, to me, you have to be your own best advocate these days. But I remember seeing a lot of the harmful products when I launched my hair company and we started with our natural hair products. I wanted to make certain that we did not include the typical, you know, any harmful products with those chemicals and things like that. But I will tell you, my favorite thing, I saw a lot of them, the chemicals on the traditional shampoos that are in the supermarkets or wherever you're going to buy your shampoos and stuff, and they had chemicals going 95 south. And I remember the old days. I remember looking when I was a kid on the back of the bottle of shampoo that we had in the house, which was awful. I was a little kid. And we had just bargain shampoo, and I remember it had formaldehyde. I remember the word, and it had it in the shampoo. Now, let me tell you something. Anything you look at that has the word formaldehyde.
Run. Well, they're getting clever now. They don't only use the formaldehyde itself. They'll use a derivative, so it could be formalin.
Oh,
it could be glycol. It could, a version of it. But trust, if your hair doesn't grow in that same way, there's some kind of strong industrial chemical involved.
If it is banned, they have to also ban those derivatives. But what they do, like you said, it's the same way that sugar, you know, no matter how you look at sugar on the back of packages, you will never be able to figure out on food packaging if sugar is included, because they have an unlimited number of words that they pretty much, to me, it seems like they just make up. That takes the place of it. All under the guise of trying to hide and fool the buying public. So that's my personal thing. And I know that's a little
I've got something.
But.
I've got help. Help is on the way, Carrie. Help is actually here. There's some, I know I had talked about this before, but there are apps now available, and I won't say the good or the bad, but there are at least some apps available that will read the label, right, and tell you if, say, something's, what the impact is on a body of whatever, and they might rate them good, bad, ugly, or run, or, you know, 1 to 10, you know,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, I had thought of it years ago, and I just couldn't get any traction and funding for it, but at least somebody did. So there's a couple of groups. One is called Yuka, Y-U-K-I, so Yuki, whatever. Looks like a carrot. That's one. And then another app is Think Dirty, but basically they read labels and tell, and those labels can tell the impact or the effect on the body.
Yeah,
of those chemicals that are in something.
That is what we kind of need out there. We kind of, again, you have to be your own best advocate, because, you know, it feels like sometimes folks who we think are necessarily looking out for us doesn't always feel that way. So, Mary, I just want to say thank you, because this is something that we have to constantly be aware of. We have to look to, you know, and I would be remiss if I don't talk a little bit about some of these things through the chemical straighteners, and that's kind of where this emanated from, is the with regards to the FDA now looking to ban a lot of these products that are in the chemical straighteners. So I'm just saying, and according to what they are saying at the NIH, who did their release their report, the National Institutes of Health, back in the end of 2022, to all kinds of things out there. You know, this is a layered thing where the report essentially said that African-American women were more prone to potentially develop, at that time they were saying uterine cancer. But larger scope of things now is kind of linked into all different forms of cancer. And that's why the FDA is looking at, really expounding this and banning these chemicals. And again, the only reason that they said the African-American women, not that all, it's really not about necessarily the color, but the frequent use of the products that led to the potential danger, according to what they were saying at the time. So that's just how it was rolled out. Then we've talked about with El Mary. I've chatted with different folks in the hair business across the whole line of folks, and everybody. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But it seems to me that some, depending upon if they had a horse in the race, kind of that was their motivation, whether they were for or against it. And I just want to say, that's why the Hair Radio Morning Show, we love the truth. We love watching the hair business. We keep a very close eye on everything that we can. And we are in the middle of everybody. We love everybody. We want everybody to be part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. We do. And I think that this is great, Mary. And Mary,
it's important that you get the message out. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's just good to have a place to share the message, get people thinking, get them to dig a little deeper. Very important. Yeah. And just be aware, increasing awareness. Thank you for continuing to provide that outlet, Carrie.
Yes, thank you, Mary. And I just want to say, folks, again, Mary Reed Johnson, you guys can hear her right here across the Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast. We are right now at the point and beyond, we are kind of closing in very shortly on our 1,000th broadcast again and beyond. So you could be hearing this anytime. But I just want to say, Mary, you've been a big part of our success here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we so much appreciate you. As I opened up the segment with that, what has it meant to you being part of this Hair Radio Show? Because, and I'm going to remind everybody out there about our early days, Mary, that I remember. So, but what has it meant to you? You built a fan base of people here at the broadcast. And so many people, we listen for the next Mary Reed Johnson special that, you know, whether it's a 10 favorite type things that we didn't know or just interviews or helping us to hold down the fort. What has it meant to you with all of this, Mary Reed Johnson, Hairhead Heart?
That is a big question. But I would say pretty much everything, because you touch everything and you touch all the types of people in the industry, you know, from Willie Morrow to relatives and the legacy of different industry icons. You talked like this morning a little bit about regulatory innovations. You know, you have been boots on the ground experiencing product startup and carry through. You know, you've written a book, you know, all kinds of things. So if people are paying attention, they will absolutely glean some nuggets. And you have some wonderful co-hosts, you know, that come in and are part of the program.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, if you go to Hair Radio, whichever antenna that you're part of with Hair Radio Network, then you will get some meat. And I think you can't even touch that. That's good.
Listen, folks, Mary, outstanding. Thank you so much. And it's hard to even think that we could ever have come this far without Mary. And I remember the first time I was just blessed to be on Mary's show. And don't know how it all happened, but that's what happened. And from there, we have been, you've been just family to our broadcast and our network. So just wanted to say thank you on that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. All right, folks. We're thanking Mary Reed Johnson again, Hairhead Heart. Check her out. And again, she'll be back soon. All right. Stay with us. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
And sharing this one and only life, ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You'll count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the baby, but you won't have your man. While he's really loving every woman that he can, I'm gonna leave 100 times a day. It's easier said than done, and you just can't break away. In trouble and strife, my mind must be free to learn all I can about me. I'm gonna love me for the rest of my days. Encourage the babies every time they say, self-preservation is what's really going on today. Yeah, I say I'm gonna turn loose 100 times. But how can I turn loose when I just can't break away?
I just can't break away.
Oh, young
heart,
run free and never be hung up like my man and me. My man and me.
And welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Carrie, over to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Angela. Again, it's Wednesday morning, January 17th of 2024. I'm Carrie Hines. It's great to have you guys with us. It is our Spotlight Hour at 8. It's about 8:09 Eastern, 7:09 if you're in the Central Time Zone. And we've got a lot to talk about in this hour. First, as I mentioned, we're going to kind of get into some of the wonderful segments that are in our vault. And today, again, great items that we've covered, but need to revisit, especially as we march towards our 1,000th episode. First, let me bring back to the line, you guys know him from Water Valley, Mississippi, beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia, Michael Hopkins. I knew I was going to do that at some point, Michael. Beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia, that's where Michael is based out of, an accredited claims agent. It's good to have you with us, Michael, as we get into this hour. But first, but before we dig into the vault, and talk a little bit about that, I kind of wanted to just touch, kind of talk a little bit quickly about the incredible Vet Talk radio show episode that aired just on yesterday's broadcast, on Tuesday's show. It was something a little bit, not as so much a departure, but I think you went and talked a little bit about some things that we hadn't really talked about, but it's beneficial to our community. Do you remember what that show was about, Michael?
Oh, yes, Carrie. We were talking about hypertension. Oh, yes. Secondary. Yeah.
Okay. So that is, and just for you guys who are just tuning in today, you have no idea what we're talking about. Michael hosts the Vet Talk radio show, which is all about assisting disabled veterans with claims and compensation. And we just appreciate the efforts that he makes every Tuesday right here on our network. You don't have to go flipping through the internet. Every Tuesday morning at 8:30, it rolls right on in to this network. And we are so proud of the work that Michael's been doing for several years here on our show. At any time, you can hear a segment about the veterans or providing some kind of advocacy. So we kind of incorporated that into the Hair Radio Morning Show, even though you still do a special broadcast on Tuesday mornings. So this was about yesterday, and as you said, it was great. It was a great piece, I should say, a great segment that we want to
very
make sure
so.
You guys are aware of. So did you get any feedback at all on that, Michael? Because every so often Michael hears back from some of the folks who are tuned in, some of the fans of Vet Talk Radio.
Oh, very much, Carrie. Yeah, I did get some feedback. And one of my veterans in particular was really impressed with it. He was telling me how he enjoyed the segment, and it's one of those issues that perhaps he'll be following up with me and filing for compensation for it.
And isn't that what this is all about? So I think
very
you're doing a great
so,
job. Yeah. Remember that you are an accredited claims agent. And when I think back, speaking of looking and kind of going back over some of the things that we've done here on the broadcast, I remember when you came to us, you were not an ACA. You were not an accredited claims agent at that time. And Michael, the first thing he said was, I'm going to become an accredited claims agent. And boy, oh boy, has he done just that. And now you have a wall full of clients and people that you're assisting and helping to get up to 100% so they can have the maximum in terms of compensation. And we are so excited. These are, again, disabled veterans who are more than deserving. And, Michael, you're a part of that group. So we salute you and salute the incredible
very
work that you're
so.
Doing. As they
very
say, I'm
so.
Not just a customer. You know, I'm one of the people or the employees. Remember that commercial? So
yeah.
We appreciate what you're doing, Michael Hopkins, and we thank you.
Now, what, any idea on some of the things you want to kind of push forward to in weeks ahead for the Vet Talk Radio Show?
Well, Carrie, one of the things I've been working on is I want to do more segments just talking to veterans. And
like vet to vet.
A lot of,
yeah,
vet to vet type. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Because I have so many of my veteran brothers and sisters that they have voices that need to be heard. And we're also going to be working on, there's so many people, Carrie, that approach me, and they say, well, what can I do to help a veteran? And I'm going to do a show, and it's going to be all about how to help a veteran. And sometimes, you know, Carrie, sometimes it's not big things to help veterans. Some people think they have to do some grandiose thing to help veterans. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's some small things that individuals can do to help veterans.
But what I want you to be able to do is find a way, because I believe each of us can make a contribution on that level. So can, when you do this, would you please kind of figure out ways that everybody can make the difference or make a difference in the life of a veteran? Is that something we can kind of bring to the fruition on this broadcast, Michael, or Vet Talk Radio?
Very much so, Carrie Hines. Very much so.
Awesome. Okay. Well, Michael Hopkins, again, if you're just tuning in, it's Wednesday morning. We're live. It's January 17th of 2024. I'm Carrie Hines. It's our broadcast show number 940. So, Michael, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit. I want to talk, you know, take a serious moment, as we kind of bring out some of the items in our vault. And I want to be clear, there was so much going on back in 2013, 2014 when we launched this show as a morning version broadcast of the Hair Radio, show. And what I recall is that there was a huge story, and I had kind of forgotten. I remember Ferguson, and I remember Flint. I always got all this mixed up. There were so many things going on. But we had a panel discussion. And again, it was on a young man's life that he lost, again, after running with these folks. We'll get the panel discussion on to talk a little bit about it. But again, this is from our vault. It's been 10 years. Now, remember, the Hair Radio Morning Show offers a chronology of Black culture, of life, of world culture. So we kind of, at that point, Michael, had started, even though we had started in 1995 and it was only about hair and beauty, and that's how we kind of started. First, it was just about hair. Then we added beauty elements, and then from there we added community, which you're a part of the community. Nicole Marie's a part of the community. I'm a part of the community. We have great things that we're doing that makes a difference in our local municipalities. And so with that in mind, and we expound on community efforts, we visited one of these biggest stories when we had gotten underway. So 10 years ago, the Hair Radio Morning Show, that summer I believe it was, we went, we had on some folks from different areas who shared their thoughts on what was kind of happening in Ferguson. So Ferguson was the story that we are going to dig out of the vault today. And then later, I'm going to see if I can find the one on Flint. But here's the piece. Here's the segment that we are going to kind of uncover. And, Michael, I'm hoping that we can have a discussion after this. Would that be okay, Mr. Michael Hopkins?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, I think that would be really something that we could benefit from. And again,
very important.
Yeah, and it's good not to have these things where we kind of forget what they're about. You know what I mean? We
very
kind
much
of have
so.
To keep our foot on the gas, Michael, if that makes
very
any
much
sense.
So.
Well, yeah. Now, why do you think it's important that we kind of bring up these segments that we've had in our vault about different things that have happened over the years? Because maybe forget. So what do you say?
Right. You know, Carrie, if something like that can happen 10 years ago, it can happen either right now or it can happen 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 3 years from now. Who knows? But we have to keep issues like this in the forefront because we don't know. We don't know. There's all kinds of chemicals. There's all, you know, so we have to keep this alive. We have to.
Well, Michael, we're doing just that. We're following your advice today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, again, this is our panel discussion. It's an organic group that we have assembled, actually done live and taped back in 2014. So it's been exactly 10 years coming up on 10 years that we did this segment. Okay. So take a listen. Michael and I will be back live on the other side of this with more new commentary. We'll be stay with us, folks. Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now we have with us folks from across the country who are concerned about the issues that are occurring even as we speak in Ferguson, Missouri. So we have several folks who will be joining us on the line. We'll be talking of some of the background with regards to Michael Brown's demise, and we'll be talking about some of the things that we can do as a community to move ourselves forward as well as the nation. So I want to welcome you guys to Hair Radio, and I want to thank you for being with us. And I first would like to kind of go into some of the background concerning this situation. So kind of provide you with like a timeline, if you will, of the recent occurrences out in Missouri. So when we look at the situation and we talk of the beginning, it was not really more than 10 days ago. It seems like we've been a bit inundated, if you will, with the coverage. So, you know, we might have thought it was a lot longer, but it's really only it occurred starting on Saturday, August 9th. There was an 18-year-old Michael Brown, who is a recent high school graduate about to start college, and he's shot and killed by a Ferguson, Missouri police officer. Brown was unarmed. On Sunday, August 10th, you have hundreds of people march to the Ferguson Police Department demanding answers for the teen's death. Some have their hands up, as Brown reportedly did before he was shot. Some chanting, "Don't shoot me." They are met with police officers at the station, and there is no violence. Now, at the same time, St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar holds a news conference at another location. Belmar says the incident began when the officer encountered two individuals on the street near an apartment complex Saturday afternoon in Ferguson. Now, again, Ferguson is a predominantly black suburb. Belmar said as the officer tried to get out of his patrol car, one of the subjects pushed him back in and began assaulting him. Now, this again is the police folks. It is our understanding at this point in the investigation that there was a struggle over the officer's weapon. Now, this is according to Belmar. At least one shot was fired in the patrol car, he said, and the remaining shots that ultimately killed Brown were shot on the street. It was more than just a couple, Belmar went on to say, in regarding the number of times that Brown was shot. Now, on Sunday, August 10th, you had a Twitter post that went out, which was a Twitter warning that the Internet Hacker Group, Anonymous, was prepared to make internal emails and other private police documents available or public, if you will, if it deemed the police acted inappropriately. So we'll just go up to the 10th of August. I'd like to open up the floor a little bit and kind of get, if you don't mind, just give us maybe your first name and the state that you're calling from, and then just kind of tell us where or how you feel about this situation, and really open up the floor to any comment that you may have. Monet, would you like to kick in?
Hi, everyone. My name is Monet. Monet's Braids, 804braids.com. I'm in Richmond, Virginia. And I'm just, of course, I'm upset. And I keep hearing a lot about people are saying that blacks kill each other, so why are we upset when a cop kills us, and why are we rioting and all these things? But it is what it is. A young boy who was actually productive in life, another productive black boy, just got killed for no reason. So, you know, and then everybody has this, that we have this hands-up movement. I'm about to actually get some shirts made that says hands-up. We got the hands-up movement, and it's like if he was surrendering, I don't see any justification. It's no justification why we shouldn't be outraged as a people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my thoughts on that.
Now, what do you think about what appears to be a cover-up, if you will, by the local authorities?
To be honest, I think this might start happening in other parts of the country. And I think that this is just a drill, per se, for police to start knowing how to handle black people when all of this stuff hits the fan. I think it's just a test for us and see how we act so they can see how they should treat us in the future.
Very interesting. And Siobhan, I know that you're on the line with us.
Yes, this is Siobhan from New Jersey. You know, I really don't know what to say, or I guess I can't say that I'm kind of numb, but I'm just, I can't put my feelings in words, you know. It's really senseless, but there's no way for me to word it. It's unbelievable.
Now, what do you guys feel about the president's response to all of this? Anyone could just jump in. What do you feel about the President of the United States, the statement that he's made regarding the situation, and any comments on what you think the President can do, if anything?
Please forgive me, because I work so much. I don't know what he actually said. Please forgive me, y'all. So
well, that's
okay. Enlighten me on the words that he gave the people regarding the situation.
Yes. But that's okay. Even if you didn't hear, what could you imagine that the role of the president should be in a situation like this?
Well, a lot of people, like everybody's like, oh, President Barack Obama's black, and he is of color. I don't truly, and I'm African American. I don't want to say I don't regard him as being a black man, because he is a black man, but he was not raised in a predominantly black household, and I don't think that he has, in my opinion, I don't know this man in real life, but I don't believe that he would have the same views as someone who grew up in a predominantly African American household. So I don't think he's really gonna do nothing for real. I don't think he's gonna do nothing. I don't think a bill is gonna be passed. I don't think that he's gonna demand that the police officer gets thrown in jail or anything like that. I just don't think he's gonna really do that.
Okay. On any other
Yeah, on that note, I mean, when it comes to the, you know, as far as like with the president, I, as she said, I didn't hear his words in terms of what happened. But what I will say is the problem, you can't fix a house without having a firm foundation. So we really, you know, there's no way to blame anyone, so to speak. We just have to ensure that our foundation is solid, you know, and that's the bottom line. Reaching back out to the, community, starting to be more concerned with our neighbors than we are presently doing, having more neighborhood functions and family functions. The family foundation is the key to the survival and the key for people to seeing, I guess, a more humanistic view of a person rather than thinking, or not to say that the officer is thinking that, you know, the boy is an animal or what have you, but there's so much that needs to be changed, so much to be repaired on a foundation level.
That's true.
Regarding some of the names, when I meet some of these names, Abner Louima, Amadou Diallo, Sean Bell, Trayvon Martin, and the list goes on and on. You can go to my page, that's Carrie Hines on Facebook, and see at least 20 deaths under these types of circumstances. So we want you to let us know what you think. Again, you can tweet us at Hair Radio, or use the hashtag Hair Radio and be part of the conversation with regards to what's going on right now in Ferguson, Missouri. Now, I'd also like to move you guys to, you know, talking about what can we do in terms of, as a community, to turn this tide. And out of all of this, me, myself, along with the team at Hair Radio, we've created LetMyBrotherLive.org. And we're going to make sure that those words will be set up. So you'll be able to go there. You'll be able to go there tomorrow. I have to set it up tonight. But you'll be able to go there tomorrow, and you'll be able to read information that will be the very beginning of conversations with regards to this type of occurrences. And, you know, we're going to be more of a media watchdog, so to speak, because several of you out there were saying that you felt the media has had a hand in creating this atmosphere of intolerance. And I think that needs to be addressed. So letmybrotherlive.org will be the first place that you go to as a watchdog group, so to speak. And also what we need to do to strengthen our own community and what kind of advice we can pass along to President Obama's own area, team of folks who are out doing some charitable work with regards to this situation. So letmybrotherlive.org, you'll be able to visit it tomorrow and get all of the updates with regards to what we're working on, and some things and suggestions and some ideas. And also you'll be able to listen to some of the interviews and some of the things that we're focused on in the community.
Okay. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to an archived segment here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday morning, January 17th of 2024. And it's our broadcast show number 940, and we are doing a big replay. We've gone into our vault, and from 10 years ago, there's this huge story about the death of Michael Brown, and we decided to form a panel discussion that consisted of different hair folks in and around the United States to share their sentiment and their commentary. And again, it's exactly 10 years ago, as we are now, of course, in 2024, looking back at this event, again, on Ferguson, Missouri,
back in 2014. So we're going to kind of get this segment on across, and then Michael Hopkins, that talk radio fame and colleague here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're going to talk about this. And so you can share your sentiment as well. Dial in, press 1, and share your thoughts on that that time period, that Ferguson period back in 2014, and kind of, you know, things, look, we're still here today. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let us continue again more on our panel discussion from our archives here on the Hair Radio Morning Show back in 2014. Take a listen.
Their judgment, they're not able to see the things that are, you know, in the right way that they should be, you know, with the right viewpoint. So do you think media can be a bit heavy, or society in general?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, everybody always say stuff about music. Music is so cliche, and video games are so cliche. But when you have parents who are working all the time because they have to pay back student loans and they have to pay bills and they have to make sure that their kids have food on the table and they have to do all this stuff, they don't have time to really monitor their children like they should. I wasn't monitored like I should have been because my mom worked all the time. And a lot of stuff I got into I probably shouldn't have been getting into in the first place. But a lot of music, you know, they just look at, like, Nicki Minaj and Rihanna. Oh, they're expressing themselves, but are you really going online, looking up the lyrics to these songs that you're letting your little daughter listen to? Are you really interacting with your child and their friends and who they're around and what's influencing them? Everything plays a part. So a lot of times parents are so consumed with themselves or their work, they don't have the time to really manage their household like that, and then they have the TV and the computer and the laptop and the smartphone and everything, so they're just connected to the outside world all the time, always connected to negativity. A lot of stuff on, well, everything they watch on TV is not good, pretty much, except for like learning channels, learning shows, but it's not even a lot of that anymore. It's just entertainment. Then what sort of
right.
new messages are getting into your child's mind?
You know, that is so true. You're hitting on a key point because from a psychological perspective, there was an experiment done, and anyone can look it up. It's called the Bobo Doll Experiment, B-O-B-O Doll Experiment. And within that experiment, what happened
was...
You said
the Bobo Doll Experiment?
Yes. What happened
okay.
is... They pretty much showed the children images of, you know, hitting someone. And what happened is during an experiment afterwards, the child began to react just exactly what they saw. And this is happening to us. We're humans, and that's how we learn. We learn by what we see. We learn by what we take in through our ears. What do you call it? Audio learning. There's different methods of learning. So as you mentioned with the music, you know, and I forget which singer it was that fought about the lyrics and the message of the lyrics, because it is a contributing factor to why a lot of our males are in jail. It is a contributing factor to why a lot of our males are choosing to do wrong things, because it's idolized, unfortunately. And it needs to stop. And the only way to stop it, it must start at the foundation. You know, it's hard, you know, as a parent, how do you battle against, I hate to say social media, but negative social media? How do you battle against these negative images when this has become the social norm of society in our community? You know, it's a sad state, but it has to be repaired.
Well, I think that it just reflects what's really going on in society. I think that the negative images, all of that is out there because we may not necessarily create it, we don't necessarily perpetuate it, but unfortunately, by us taking no action, this is what happens. This is what happens to people who are not you know, figuring out how to, you know, how to make the situation better, so to speak. And I think the elephant that's in the room is that we should be looking at supporting one another.
Yeah.
That is the true answer to the situation, is that it lies with us. It starts with us, and it ends with us.
It makes you think, though, if you really think about it, I mean, when someone goes through traumas, you know, they need some sort of healing. They need some way to sit down and talk to someone to work it through. But we're dealing with a society of individuals, and we must admit it, we have gone through something, not us, but our ancestors. That emotion has never been repaired. So this is something that's subconsciously passing on generations to generations to generations. Whether it's, to give you a good topic, let's talk about, I hate to mention, the lovely, what's the baby's name? I want to say it's Blue Ivy. Is that her name? When her, when she wore her hair in a natural state, you know, people went nuts. Oh, her hair isn't done. They need to do something about her hair.
Yeah,
her
I was on that bandwagon.
Yeah, her hair.
She could have combed that baby hair.
But
and then, everybody's like, it's none of our business. You're in the spotlight. You want to show pictures of your child all the time? Don't get mad when somebody say your child hair don't look done.
But you see, this is no. I understand both sides of the spectrum. But looking at it from a natural point of view, maybe if you wanted to allow her to have free expression without putting a social stigma on her. And this is the problem. This goes back to the mimicking, you know. Oh, the hair has to be worn a certain way. Oh, the clothes has to be a certain way. I mean, I do agree with having your hair done, but there has to be some kind of limit where at least a baby under the age of 2 is able to have learn self-love and self-expression without being bashed.
Yeah, that baby don't know nothing about hair. You know that baby don't know nothing about hair. She don't care what she. I'm just think as a mom, I wouldn't. I mean, my mom always kept my hair done as a child, and she. But Beyonce braids don't look all that good either. So I can't. You're right. I ain't mad at her. Her braids don't even look that good all the time. They all.
Oh my goodness.
But that's another topic. You know, go look up her pictures. You know her braids look really fuzzy. They don't look like they were professionally done.
Wow.
She should have called me.
Right. Well, you know what? That just shows that it's amazing to have all the money in the world and still not be able to look the very best. That's a by itself. But I'll tell you something. Speaking of hair, what can we in the hair community do? Is there anything that we can do?
Absolutely. We can start something where we deal with expressions, combed expressions perhaps, combed expressions to bring back character, restoring the foundation in the community.
I like that. Tell us more.
Basically, what it will entail is hairstylists, barbers alike, or anyone in the beauty industry can pretty much mentor, you know, get these young children who are aspiring to be, whether they want to be entrepreneurs, own a hair salon, own a barbershop, whatever it is that they want to do, but just volunteer, even if it's just 1 hour a week, because the slightest voice of positivity could change everything. Some kids have absolutely no love. And this type of thing creates certain behavior where we all kind of get grouped in a box. And unfortunately, people like, I don't know what was on that officer's mind, or, you know, is he just, you know, I don't know what the story of that is, but people will not be able to group when they see people striving, owning their own, having their business, building their communities, being supportive of one another. You know, there's no reason for me to walk past your store and go to another one. We must start to support each other once again.
Well, I totally agree. And what I'm going to do, you inspired me to really push the letmybrotherlive.org information out there within the hair community. So we're going to reach out and see if we can get the salons and barbershops to sign up as, as an opportunity for us to come in and to talk to the patrons and or those that they invite. Whatever we need to work with those shops because the shops are in the center of our community.
That's true. I know it is here in Richmond. That is true. Everybody knows everybody when it comes to a hair salon. You're intertwined with so many people because your clients, they are so, they vary. All right, you got government workers. I got the CIA lady. I got the IRS lady. I got a police officer. I got a sheriff. I have teachers, social workers, everybody who does something different. I have a caterer, models.
How powerful you are. Do you realize the power that you have?
Yeah. And all the people that you can utilize to come together.
Mm-hmm. So this is why it's critical. When folks always ask me, well, Carrie, why do you always do everything for the hair community? Hair. Well, I feel that this is our community. I feel that hair and beauty represents our community. And it doesn't have to be something negative. We can help strengthen our generations to come if we do the work.
Gary, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
I know you do the hair radio and all the wonderful things you do. Have you ever been a hairstylist, or what part of the beauty industry do you?
Sure.
I'm
often asked that question, but I guess because I've been around the hair and beauty folks for 20 years, so I've learned a lot. And the closest that I've come to it, I've actually done some things in hair replacement. I did, but other than that, so I do have an interest in trichology. So I most likely will pursue that to some degree. But I've had a more impactful career, if you will, within the industry by, being available to help others to, build on their dreams, so to speak. And so I've backed into it through broadcasting and creating the Hair Radio Show. In 1995. And...
Four.
Really? Well, me too.
Yeah. I was four. I was 4 years old.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, you see, and it's true. We were already on the air, as you'll see in all my information out there, and definitely in my book. So for those of you who are listening out there, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business speaks to all of that. And it gives you a whole bunch of my background. So when you guys have a chance, you can always go to howtogetrichinthehairbusiness.com and see all the information about the book. Okay, but I'm most interested right now in what we need to do to move our nation forward. Are there things that we can do on a national level, on a more grand level, if you will, on a bigger level, that will bring folks not just in our community, but those who are outside of our community along the way to move forward? Are there things that we can do as a nation? Any suggestions or money?
Stop spending so much money. Black Wall Street, we need another Black Wall Street where we just let our money circulate with us, because black people have a lot of buying power in America.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even if one state would say, you know what, we're just going to spend with all of us. If it was a whole state, if you can get not even a whole state, but a large group of people to say, I am not spending. We even have a local black farmer here. So I'm actually it's crazy that all of this is coming up, because I've been meaning to contact him for some produce, and I am going to do that. I'm going to start purchasing my produce straight from the black farmer that I know, and then next I have to find a black butcher. and then I have to continue to tell my clients about them and make sure that they're spending their money with the black butcher and the black guy with the produce. Like, we just have to continue. Like, all of our necessities, we need to stick with us and stop wanting so much and stop wanting to use credit so much and you know, just it's a mind state. It's a mindset that we have to have as a people.
Mm-hmm.
That changes a lot.
I think so, too. I think you're right. You're absolutely right. By taking, you know, everything comes down to money. And by taking the monies in our own community and allowing that money to stay within our community just a tad bit longer will help to end poverty in our community. And I know this. I created the Black Business Referral Service back in 1995 also. And I recall very much just when folks would call at that time, we would connect them with black businesses in their community. Very simple idea, very simplistic in scope, but a very meaningful and deep way that you could turn and you know, the tide in terms of the poverty that, you know, befell our community. So I think that idea, there's still a whole lot with that, and I think you're absolutely right. I think that's part of it. I think that's a big part of it. But I also think what you guys touched on it earlier, the mindset. It's the mindset first that needs to make that needs to change. We first must learn, and that's because of the history in this country and why we have the thought patterns that we have. It's not entirely our fault. A lot of it is contrived and outside of our scope, but it doesn't mean that we can't make the changes that we need to make. We can.
True.
We can. They're not going to be easy, because what happens when, you know, you snatch somebody's money out of their hands? They're not happy. Well, that's exactly the same idea. Should our community really decide to wake up, so to speak? You'll have all kinds of folks. What was that?
Each one teach one.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I have to tell you guys, I think this is a great beginning. I think that you were fantastic in the information that you shared. And for those of you out there, again, I'm Carrie Hines, and this is the Hair Radio Show. And it's a very special edition as we discuss the demise of Michael Brown, the folks out in Ferguson, Missouri. We would like to send positive messages out to the Brown family and to those folks who are out in the St. Louis, Ferguson area, and to all of our brothers and sisters around the nation. I want to thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is 8:53 in the morning. If you're on the East Coast, 7:53 for those of you in the Central Time Zone. Let me bring Michael Hopkins in on the talk this morning. You guys just heard from a segment from our vault. And again, today is Wednesday, January 17th of 2024, our show number 940. Michael Hopkins from beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Wow.
Okay, Michael.
what can I say? This was an entire segment that was literally recorded back in 2014, 10 years ago exactly, from where
wow.
we are today. So what are your thoughts, Michael? Let's go to you first on this and tell us, what do you want to say, Michael Hopkins?
Wow, Carrie. Just listening to that, and yes, it does bring back a lot of memories of what happened in Ferguson and with Mr. Brown and all that, but it also points out a lot of these things have not changed when it comes to especially young black men and their encounters with law enforcement. A lot has not changed. There's always an issue, and many times we as blacks, we wind up on the bad side of the issue, and it's a continuous thing over and over and over.
Well, I found that it was, thank you for that, Michael. I totally agree with you. When we did the segment, we had already referenced to at least 20 different
right.
incidents at that point.
Right.
Since then, we have had an innumerable amount of young black men to be killed. And this is something that is just deplorable. And it's very hard. It's hard for us to understand this. It's just very challenging right now to kind of put this into the right perspective. I don't think we can. But I just want to say that Monet was on, Siobhan, and we had such a great, serious panel talk on this topic. And so I thought it was fascinating. Yeah. And just trying to say, wow, we are really... You know, the Hair Radio Morning Show, again, after being a part of this whole operation for 10 years, 9 years on Blog Talk, and altogether, and you can even do the math when you hear on the segments. I think they referenced to me being in the hair industry, Monet. You know, we see she tried to come and ask me some questions. And at that point, I had been in the industry for 2 decades. And if you do the math, that's exactly where it adds up. You understand? So that's
right.
how we roll here at Hair Radio. And I'm
very
proud of that fact. Yeah. So, Michael, I have to say, as always, there's always something original here at the broadcast. The Hair Radio Morning Show. I was like, wow. I was literally on the edge of my seat because, of course, the segment was done 10 years ago, so I didn't remember all the elements of it. And it was done, I thought it was done really well. It broke down the story and reminded us of everything and covered. There were so many. And I thought it was fascinating.
Yes, it was, Carrie, to myself, you know, just listening.
I think we lost you, Michael. What did you say?
Oh, I was saying just listening back, and it was 10 years ago. And then, you know, you reflect on where you were and when you heard this story and what was going on and so forth. And I remember vividly where I was and what I was doing just 10 years ago. When this story broke, I remember what I was doing, and it just makes you reflect on...
Well, I think you could hear the sadness in everybody.
Yeah, very much so.
And feelings of despair that we have no, you know, recourse, nothing we can do to change things. You know, how can folks harm us and not seem to care much? How can we harm each other and not seem to care much? And it's because there's very little value that's associated with being black. So you have folks who are trying to shy away from that mindset and not understand that it's a lot deeper, literally. And we can do more. We can be more. So I'm hoping that that'll be something that we'll be able to cover. So listen, folks, it's been an incredible day. And I just want to say thank you so much. So, Michael, this is really, I think it was a special broadcast. It really turned into that today.
Well, yes, it was one of those special moments today, Carrie. It was a very special moment today. This broadcast was very special.
Thank you. I think so, too. So, listen, we'll be back on Thursday. That's tomorrow morning, which will be January 18th tomorrow. And it will be our show number 941. We're going to kind of get things ready for you. So we'll see you. Michael, great job. We'll see you back here 6 a.m. tomorrow for an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Here's our outro. Make it an awesome Wednesday. We just did.
Very much.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's presentation.